Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. There we go. Our friend back. We should be. Come on. You guys been praying for this, right?
Amen.
Haven't we been praying for this? Okay. Well, I don't hear no hallelujahs coming out for the answer to prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been very blessed. We appreciate San Jose Central. My family, you know, decided to keep it just me today. Things just aren't comfortable yet. But I appreciate you guys allowing me to come and serve here Central. We love you guys. This is our home. This is our family. But yeah, let's get right to it today. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath day. We praise you for the opportunity to meet in person, even though it's social distance. It's still really nice to see our church family in person. We ask that we invite your spirit to be here with us. Lead our Bible study today, Lord. Bring our hearts closer to you. Help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Is it just me? Am I cutting out every once in a while? Are we good? Well, we'll have to fight through it, I guess. Okay. Mr. Gregory had found and was captivated by artwork. He loved art. As a kid growing up, whenever he would see these paintings, he loved and fell in love with these beautiful, beautiful art. When he was getting older, as he got older and he had started attaining some wealth, he would go and purchase any piece of art that he could get his hands on. And he slowly built up a really wonderful museum. And the town that he lived in, he would invite every week, he would invite those who were interested to come and take a look at this gallery that he created. And it got bigger and bigger, and more people were, and it became more of it became the thing to do, to go to Mr. Gregory's house, check out his artwork, and people fell in love with him as well, because his love for his art just captivated them as well, and they just wanted to hear him speak and describe with passion all the beautiful artwork that he had attained. As he grew his family, he had a wife, a son. His son also became very interested in art. And him and his son would go to auctions, and they'd go to all these different areas where they could try to seek out as much art as they possibly could. Sorry, excuse me. As the son got older, he got more and more interested, but a war came about. So the son got drafted into the war. So he was gone for about 3 years, but the father continued to grow this. And whenever he seen anything that his son was interested in, he made sure he purchased it so that when his son would return, he would be able to see that his pieces that he liked were in the gallery as well. One afternoon, Mr. Gregory gets a knock on his door. And it's a young man, full-dressed uniform soldier. And the young man is struggling to get words out to speak to Mr. Gregory. And he's holding this big wrapped picture. And he proceeds to tell Mr. Gregory how his son saved his life in a heated battle, in a heated exchange. His son saved his life by carrying him away. But his son passed in that fight. Mr. Gregory was in shock. He was saddened. He could not believe that his son passed away. And this young man who's showing up here, he said, I wanted to come here and thank you personally. I wish I could thank your son. I wanted to thank you. Your son's bravery saved my life that day. He said, I wanted to offer you this gift. And the gift, Mr. Gregory grabs, opens up the gift, and it's a painting that this young soldier did of the son. And it just brought tears to Mr. Gregory's eyes. So he rearranged his entire gallery and put the sun as the center of everything. So people would come and take a look, and he spent all his time talking about this one painting. And when as he got older, you know, the people stopped coming around as much because they weren't really interested in that painting of the sun. They wanted to see the full gallery. As time passed, Mr. Gregory fell ill and passed away. There was going to be an auction of his estate and his art and everything that he had accumulated. And so the day came for the auction. The auctioneer comes out, and everything's getting set up, and the whole town, the whole people from all over came because they could not wait to get their hands on the artwork the guy had because he had accumulated such art. So the auctioneer comes up, sets everything up, gets his little gavel, has the first piece set up, right? Everybody's like, man, I can't wait to see what this first one's going to be. So he pulls the drape off, and he's like, we'll start the bidding at $20. And it's the picture of the sun. It's the painting of the sun that the soldier brought. And everybody's like, oh, man, like, no. We're not here for that. We don't even know what that is. We want some of this other stuff that's here hanging on the walls. When are we going to auction that off? And the auctioneer again, $20, highest bidder. Do I have 20? No, man, we don't want that. The crowd starts getting restless. They're like, man, just get that out of here. And so they're looking around at anybody like, man, just somebody offer this guy 20 bucks so we can move forward. In the way back of the auction house, an elderly hand makes its way up. And the auctioneer's looking, and the man goes, I'll give $5 for that. And the rest of the crowd's like, good, thank goodness, we can get that out of the way. Auctioneer gives one more chance. Anybody else want to beat this man's offer? 20 bucks. Can we do 25? No, man, we don't want that. Let's keep it going. Going once, going twice, sold to the gentleman in the back. Auctioneer puts the gavel down, exits the stage. Everybody's up in arms, like, what are you talking about? He's like, another person comes and says, thank you all for coming. We appreciate you checking this out. Have a great day. Someone stands up like, no, wait a minute. What's going on here? And he pulls out a document and he says, look, guys, like, this auction was a very specific auction. The statesman had said that the person that purchases this painting, the house, the cars, painting, everything for the painting of the sun. Now, why is this a significant story? When you hear the sun, S-O-N, what do you think of? Let's think church-minded. Let's think biblically-minded. The sun.
Jesus.
The Son of God, right? And when Jesus came, was he wrapped in beautiful apparel?
No.
Was he eye-catching, eye-popping, I gotta have that? No. He wasn't, right? But when you receive him, when you claim him, when you want him, what do you gain?
Everything.
Everything. I'm so glad Barb is listening. You guys, amen. Thank you, Barbara. Now, I want to take us to a few stories, just a little bit, a few scriptures here. Most of the stuff we already know, but there's some things that I think that we're gonna have a little Bible quiz. It's not gonna be I'm gonna ask you. You're gonna ask. You're gonna think about these things as we move along through our Bible study today, and we're gonna see if we got some real Bible students here today. These first few, everybody's going to know. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. We're going to be discussing today God's stimulus package. That word, that phrase seems to be coming out a lot these days, right? Stimulus packages. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says, Amen. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to his house, of the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall make some, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts on, and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh at, on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Okay. Let's keep moving. Chapter 13. Jesus was teaching his people, the God was teaching his people how to commemorate something. God was instructing his people on something that they were going to be doing from that day forward, right? From this, this is going to be the first month of many months that you and your family are going to be taking care of this particular, I don't want to call it a ritual. What's another word? I don't want to call it, this is a, they're going to, a tradition? No. This is something that they were going to have to partake in for the from that day forward, right? Get your lamb, no blemish, male, twilight. Keep all these little clues in your mind, right? The lamb must be slain at twilight. These are all little clues that are going to build for us today's Bible study. And so God was making sure that he had his people, he had something set aside for them, and that he had something that they were going to do that was going to be recognized by him, and that they would all recognize as something that was established by him. Okay? Why would God do that? To set apart. Amen. God was establishing a remnant. A group of people that he was going to use to now spread everything that he needed to be spread from left to right, east to west, north to south, up and down, every nation, tongue, kindred. And so this people was going to be his people. Now, what was the problem that these people were facing at this time? What was the problem? We're in what book are we in?
Exodus.
Okay. So what was the problem these people were facing? They were running from what? From Egypt. Because why? They were slaves. They had been slaves for generations. God is pulling his people out of a captivity. And then as soon as he gets them out of captivity, he says, look, this is how we're going to set you apart from everything else around. Forget all that stuff that you were doing before. Starting today, amen? Forget everything in the past. Starting today, this is how you are going to act as my people. Amen?
Amen.
And so he establishes this thing. And so now we go into, they had just left Egypt. Before he sets them on the journey, he stops them. He institutes this program for them. And then he leads them off, right? They end up in the wilderness. Okay, now what happens in the wilderness? Terror. Okay, what else happens in the wilderness?
hunger. Disobedience.
Disobedience. What else? Complaining. There we go. Complaining. God had just taken a group of people out of hundreds of years of captivity, brought them out of that captivity, assured them that he was going to be with them for that day forward. And they start complaining, rebelling, you name it. They're chapter 13 of Exodus. Verse 17. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Okay. God already knew that he had to set parameters on how he was going to have his people leave. Right? He's like, if I can't take them this, even though this is the quick way, I can't take them that way because they're going to be scared of what they're going to see and they're going to run right back to Egypt. I need to take them this way. You ever be in a situation where you see the end in sight and you want to hurry up and get there?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you take your will and you take what you want and what you think is best and you just want to hurry up and get there. And then what happens when you get there? Doesn't always work out, does it? But then you ask God, God, you see, this is where I want to be, God. How do I get there? God's like, well, we might have to take this other route. You know what I'm saying? And this other route is going to be a little bit longer. And you know, this other route is probably not going to be exactly what you thought it was going to be. You're going to be and you take God's route. And even though you take God's route, you end up at a Red Sea. Wait a minute, God. I didn't want to go this way. It was quicker. I took your way, and there's still an obstacle. What's up? What happened? In our story, when the people come to the Red Sea, what happened? what is surrounding them? What did they end up going into? What's on the sides of them? You have your Bibles open? What's all around them?
Mountains.
Water.
People.
Yeah. Okay. So they walk up. They got a mountain on this side. They can't go that way. They can't go forward because there's a Red Sea. They can't go back because who's starting to chase them?
Egyptians.
The army. The Pharaoh and his army is like, you know what? Just kidding. I don't want them to go. I'm going to go get them back. They took God's way. Right? That was the way that God led them. They come to where God has led them, and what they see is an ocean of problems. Right? What does God see?
A way out.
God sees an opportunity to prove to these people that I will have your back. God sees an opportunity. The problem is we see with these. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the problem. God sees with this.
Amen.
Right? So when we see this, all we can see is as far as we can see. Some of us can't even see that far anymore. Amen.
Amen.
And so it's even worse because what's in front of us is even worse than what I can see over there. But God, amen.
Amen.
He sees, oh man, if praise the Lord, he doesn't see like we see. So when they get there, God sees like, man, these people, let me show them. Let me show you that no matter where I take you, no matter what you face, I will be there. And he parts the sea for them. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This all begins to plant the seeds in God's people of something great and great and great that he's planning for his people. Amen.
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 Maybe you won't say amen yet because you don't know what God's planning for you yet. But by the end of this study, hopefully you'll have some amens on what God has for you because it is wonderful. Let's keep going. God is starting to, he takes a remnant, he's preparing them, he's trying to prove to them that he is the God of all, that he can get them through whatever it is that no man, no nature, nothing can get in the way of what he can do for his people. Amen?
Amen.
So then he, from this point in the Bible till Revelation, what was that scripture you read, Jalan? Yep. From that point to that point, God's been trying to show his people what he wants to do with them. And in that same time frame, God's people have been getting in the way of God doing what he wants to do for them. The whole Bible is meant to show us what it is to be with God. The whole Bible is meant to show us what it is to follow him. And you can choose it or not. And there's story after story of folks who don't, and you see what happens. And there's story and story of folks who do, and you see what happens. God has this wonderful game plan for us. Amen?
Amen.
Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah. These scriptures in Isaiah are some of my most favorite in all of Scripture. If you want to write them down, I'll have them, I'll shout them out for you. The first one is Isaiah 42. Amen. Isaiah 42. Behold, verse 1. My servant who I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. You can continue on because it's beautiful. But let's go to the Isaiah 49. Lands to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. Excuse me. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me, and made me a polished shaft in his quiver, and has hidden me. And he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. Verse 5, and now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength.
Amen.
Amen. Chapter 50, starting in verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He who awakens me morning by morning, he awakens my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked me out of the beard, and did not hide my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. 52. Starting in verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told to them they shall see, and what they had not heard they shall consider. Continue into chapter 53. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Finally, Isaiah chapter 61. Verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Amen. That is the description of God's stimulus package.
Amen.
That is God's stimulus package right there. Why did we need a stimulus package? You could, if you're willing to, you can speak personally. Why do we need a stimulus package? That's one. I'm a sinner. I am a filthy rag. That's why I need a stimulus package.
Amen.
We all have something that we know that God needs to stimulate in our lives, right? That only God can stimulate in our lives. Whatever it is for you, pray on these verses. Study these verses we just went through. They call this in the Bible, they call it the servant's song. All these scriptures that we went through, Isaiah 42, Isaiah 49, 1 through 13, chapter 54 through 11, chapter 52, verses 13 into 53, verses 12, and 61, 1 through 3. You ever want to know what God's doing in your life, or where God is, or what the problem is? Read those. And you can understand that though you may not see what God is doing, he already did it. Amen. You just need to wait and claim. Amen?
Amen.
Why do we need a stimulus package? This is where our Bible students are going to come out or not. Let's see how well we are in our Bible studies. This book was written Let me find where my notes are. This power and economic prosperity is the background for this prophetic ministry. Political and economic progress had led to ethical and religious decline. Wealth, taking advantage of the poor, and the profit motive were the most notable features of the Israelite society of this man's day. For three transgressions of Damascus and four, I will not turn away its punishment. Because they have threshed Gilead with the implements of iron. For these transgressions of Gaza and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. For three transgressions of Tyre and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. For three transgressions of Edom and for four, I will not turn away its punishment. For three transgressions of the people of Ammon, I will not turn away this punishment. Moab, Judah, they get the same. Now this person is speaking to every single nation, and he's letting them know this is why you are going to face the wrath of God. This is why. And as this man is preaching in this town, all of God's people are like, yep, that's right. That's right, Gaza. That's why you're not going to enter the kingdom. Oh, that's right, Tyre. That's right. That's why you're not going to get in there. Moab, I remember what you did, Moab. And you go on and on and on. Edom, Gilead, all these different things. God's people are like, yep, that's right. That's why you're not going to get in. Then God talks to his people. For three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away its punishment because they sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. They pant after the dust of the earth which is on the head of the poor and pervert the way of the humble. A man and his father go into the same girl to defile my holy name. They lie down by every altar on clothes taken in pledge and drink wine of the condemned in the house of their God. Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was the height of the cedar and was strong as the oaks. It was I who brought you out of the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to propose a land of the Amorite. I raised up some of your sons as prophets and some of your young men as Nazarites. Is it not so, O you children of Israel, says the Lord? But you gave the Nazarites wine to drink and commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy. Behold, I am weighed down by you as a cart full of sheaves is weighed down. Therefore, flight shall perish from the swift. The strong shall not strengthen his power, nor shall the mighty deliver himself. He shall not stand who handles the bow, nor shall he who rides a horse deliver himself. The most courageous of men of might shall flee naked in that day, says the Lord. This man is trying to warn God's people. But he wasn't just warning God's people, right? Because there are other nations that he's going ahead and he's letting them know, look, you're going to have to stop this. If you want to get the stimulus package, you're going to need to stop this. If you want to get God's stimulus package, you need to stop this. The biggest problem fell on who? That remnant. Remember that remnant in Exodus that God said, hey, you guys, I'm going to need you to start doing this moving forward. Because I'm going to have to use you guys to establish what I need to do moving forward for generation and generation. This man that's speaking right now is letting everybody know where they are missing the mark. And the biggest miss comes from this group of people. Because you want to know why? They claim to be that group. They claim to be the group. We have the truth. We have it all. And yet, God is letting them know. He's letting us know as readers, you don't got it yet. Anybody know who this man that's speaking is? No? I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you later. We're going to keep moving, though, because I wanted you to understand why this stimulus package needs to show up. It's nothing to do with just what's happening today. This has been happening. The things that we hear about, this has been happening. The next person starts speaking. Woe to those who devise iniquity and work out evil on their beds. At morning light they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. They covet fields and take them by violence, also houses and seize them. So they oppress a man and his house and a man and his inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, against this family I am devising disaster, from which you cannot remove from your necks, nor shall you walk haughtily, for this is an evil time. In that day one shall take up a proverb against you and lament with a bitter lamentation, saying, we are utterly destroyed. He has changed the heritage of my people. How he has removed it from me. To a turncoat he has divided our fields. Therefore, you will have no one to determine boundaries by lot in the assembly of the Lord. You will not be able to tell what is what, who is who, where is where. Because of this group of people and what they're doing to others. Anybody know who this person is that's speaking? That's not Jesus. Sounds like stuff that Jesus later on starts coming up with, right? Sounds like what Jesus is starting to prepare people for when he shows up in his ministry, right? Kind of the same thing. I got two more for you guys. Actually, how much time do we have? Let's do one more. This one you guys should know. We got a lot to get to. I don't want to test you guys too much. This one you guys should know. And now, O priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already, because you do not take it to heart. Behold, I will rebuke your descendants and spread refuse on your faces, the refuse of your solemn feasts, and one will take you away with it. Then you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me, and that was reverent before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed from that way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, I also have made you a contemptible and base before all the people, because you have not kept my ways, but have shown partiality in the law. Does anybody know who this man is that's speaking? Not yet. Sounds like something Jesus would say, though, right? Not Moses either. Okay. Let's go here. One more quote real quick. This quote is going to set up our next. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the law require of you but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? You guys know who this person is? Okay. So we just went from Amos. We heard from Amos. Okay. We heard from Micah. Okay. We heard from Malachi. Those are the men that we heard from right now in that. And what are they addressing? Does any of that sound familiar? Does any of that sound like you might have heard that before? After Malachi, which was our last person that we just heard speak, there is a break. There's a timeout. Right? What happens after Malachi biblically? Turn the page. What's the next page after Malachi?
The New Testament.
Matthew, the New Testament. Come on, guys. Matthew. So we go from hearing all these warnings, right? We go from hearing all these things that God is addressing with this people, with his people. And then he takes a time out. Why do you think God takes a time out? It's a trick question, man. We don't know. I don't know. I don't know why God took a time out, but he did. And then somebody shows up. Who shows up after this long silence from God? Yeah, technically John shows up. Amen. John shows up first. And who does he prepare the way for? John the Baptist. Yes, John the Baptist comes and he prepares the way for who?
Jesus.
And Jesus is?
The Son of God.
God. Right? Are we here? So now God shows up again after a brief timeout. And what does he do? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Matthew chapter 5. We all know Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7. What is that? That's Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Right? And what is God doing in this sermon? Okay. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And finally, blessed are you when you revile it and they persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Who is Jesus talking to? Who is representative of this list that he just listed? Okay, let me ask this. Is it just the Jews? It's the multitude. Okay? He's talking to the multitude, but who is he including in this? Is it exclusive? Is what he's saying right here exclusive to one particular group? What's that? More.
More.
Who is he? Who falls in these categories? Who's been poor in spirit before?
Okay, hold on.
Who's mourned before? Who's been meek? Who hungers and thirsts for righteousness? Who shows mercy? Sometimes. I'll put my hand halfway sometimes. I'll be honest with you. Pure in heart? Sometimes. You know, I'm not going to go all the way. So there's times. I'm a sinner. There's times. But I keep my hand up because that's God's talking to me. Peacemakers? Persecuted for righteousness? I don't know yet. I don't think so. Who has been reviled and been spoken evil of? Who has spoken evil on you guys? Who has something bad to say about you guys? Man, come on. No one? I'm the only one? You guys love me? You don't say nothing bad about me? Amen. Okay. So if every one of us can raise our hands for literally all of these things, who is Jesus talking? Who is Jesus talking to? Everybody. He's talking to everybody. And you know what the biggest problem was in that time? There was exclusivity in that time. This stuff wasn't offered to everybody. What are you talking about, Jesus? Who is this guy? That stuff is offered for those who pay their tithe on time. That stuff is offered for those who come from this family. If you don't have that last name, then that's not offered to you. What are you talking about? Who is this guy that says that all these things are offered? That's not what these... Jesus, come here. Let me talk to you real quick. You see this rule book right here? I think you need to study this rule book. Because this rule book tells us, lets us know who is and is not included in all these things that you keep offering to everybody. So here we go. Jesus is now offering God's stimulus package to everybody. Amen?
Amen.
And what is God's stimulus package? I'm glad you asked. What was our scripture reading today? Some of you don't even know. You weren't even in here when we had a scripture reading. Shame. Mark chapter 14. On the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" Stop right there. This wasn't our scripture reading. This is before our scripture reading. But what did we just read right here? Now on the first day of the unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" Remember in the very first part of today's Bible study, what did God bring them out to do? Didn't he say, "Hey, I need you guys starting from this day, I need you to find a lamb with no blemish. I need you to sacrifice it at twilight, and we're going to eat." Right? God himself is now practicing what he preached. Amen?
Amen.
He sent out two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him." In the evening, verse 17, in the evening he came with the 12. As they sat, ate, Jesus said, Assuredly I say to you, one of you who eats with me will betray me. Why is this so important, not just in this context, but overall? Does God know that we're going to betray him? Does God know that we are going to fail him? Curse him? Rebuke him? Maybe not, but don't not even believe in him? Mm-hmm. Right? He knows all of that about me. And I still have a spot at that table.
Amen.
He knew Judas was going to betray him. And he did not say, "Ah, no, not Judas, you know, you can't come and eat with us." That's powerful, man. He knows that I am unworthy, but he still has a seat at the table with him for me.
Amen.
Amen. That's inclusive. That's God's stimulus package. You could be a sinner. You can deny me. You can even betray me and turn me over to my enemy. And still I'll have dinner with you. Still, I'll come over and I'll wash your feet.
Amen.
He answered and said to them, verse 20, "It is one of the 12 who dips. It is one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born." And still, he has a seat at the table. As they were eating, Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the," what? The what? New covenant. Which is shed for the Jews. Huh? For many.
For all.
For the world. That's right. And you want to know why he specifically said many? Not everyone? Was it not offered to everyone? Oh, it was offered to everyone. But not everyone was going to accept it. But you know what? Many will. Amen? Many will accept this stimulus package. And he goes even further to prove what his stimulus package is, because a few days later, what happens to Jesus? Isaiah told us what was going to happen to him. Remember when we read about it in Isaiah? All those hundreds and hundreds of years before? Like a lamb led to the slaughter. He didn't even say a word. He didn't say, "You know, hold up. I didn't do it. Or he didn't say, "You know, hold up. You know, and that guy Andrew in 2020, I can't do it because of that guy." He did it anyways. And he solidified and he stamped and he signed God's stimulus package with his blood. Amen. And then we get to Jalon's verse. What was it again, Jalon? Revelation 22, 12 to 14. Let's go there. Revelation 22, 12. Can we go all the way to 17? "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers, idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the" where?
Churches.
Churches. In this building? What's the church? You. You're the church.
I am the root of the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, and let him who hears say, and let him who thirsts, whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely.
Amen.
Amen. Stimulate. Who's ready to be stimulated? Man. You know, we have a great blessing in knowing our Bibles. Amen. We have a wonderful, wonderful privilege in having this Bible to be able to read and to study. And it's been during this time that the kind of world has stopped, that hopefully God has given you time to step more into this game plan. Because what the issue is going to be is that we're going to have to know this without it. And not only are we going to have to know this without it, we're going to have to share this without it. And it's not good enough that you and I are here today studying God's word and worshiping together. That's not good enough for God, right? Because we need many. God wants many. God wants anyone who is willing. And not everybody has even been presented with the opportunity to know God. Right? We have people in our circles, in our lives, that know we go to church on Sabbath, know we don't work on Sabbath, but don't know what we do. Right? And Sabbath is not the only day that we do what we do, right? Do we only do this kind of stuff on Sabbath? And what I mean by this kind of stuff is, I mean, do we praise God only on the Sabbath? Do we read our Bible only on the Sabbath? Do we talk to God only on the Sabbath? Do we dress nice only on the Sabbath? Well, I do. But amen. If I came in my Jamba Juice uniform, would you guys throw me out? And that's the mindset we need to have moving forward, because there are too many who are not in that many category yet. And so it's a blessing to hear that Bibles go out to neighborhoods in ministry. It's a blessing to hear that, you know, homeless ministry continues. It's a blessing to hear that food gets distributed every week on behalf of God's community of faith. But once these connections are made, we must continue to reach out. It's nice that we give someone a Bible, but let's offer them a study with that Bible. You know, it's nice to give them food, but let's introduce them to something that they will never hunger or thirst for ever again. Amen? And that's a huge main goal for us this time, especially during this time, when we have a lot more time. Amen? Do we have a closing song? Are you singing?
Yes, we do.
We do? Well, let's do our closing song. We'll close with prayer. Thank you. The God stimulus package is ready and waiting for everybody. Amen.
stands. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name.
For this beautiful, beautiful Sabbath day. We praise you, Heavenly Father, because we know you are not done with any one of us. There is still much that we need to learn. There is still much that we need to change. There is still much that we need to surrender. And we praise you, Heavenly Father, because you give us these opportunities. Bless this church family. Bless these individuals here, Lord. May they know that you are close to them each and every day. May we all feel and know that you are going to bless us when we come to you, when our faith is in you, when our belief is in you, when our hearts are turned towards you. We ask, Lord, that you will prepare us to do your will, to introduce you to those who need to know you, to help others through what we say and what we do come to know who you are. We ask, Heavenly Father, that each and every day we find ourselves closer to you, more like you, and thank you for the privilege of being able to have your word as our guide. We ask that you will forgive us of all of our sins so that we will be prepared for your soon return. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.